Good morning. It's good to be here. Good to be back in this pulpit again. Evie and I were here. If you're not familiar, we were here for almost 12 years, from 1987 to 1998. So it was good to be back. I want to thank the elders, the session, for inviting me and us to be here today and to worship with you and enjoy this time of worship and fellowship before the Lord. I want to direct our attention to the book of Jonah. I'm going to be reading chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll listen to the word of God. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell to Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. That is the reading of God's word. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we look to you. We pray that you would open the eyes of our minds and hearts, and that the power of your Spirit that brought this word to us would work mightily to draw us more fully into your presence with the awareness of your love and mercy poured out upon us. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to focus mainly on Jonah today and what God is doing in his life. I won't cover all the details of the verses I read, but they provide the context and the setting for our looking at this passage this morning. Now, if you've read the book of Jonah, or if you're familiar with it at all, what probably you remember most is the great fish that swallows Jonah. But if we'll turn our minds from the spectacular to the more ordinary life, that is, of getting on a boat and trying to get away from God, which we will do from time to time, we will see that the focus of attention is not on the fish. The fish makes what we might call a cameo appearance, and that's it. The attention is not really on Jonah, although he's the character. The attention is on God and what God is doing in Jonah's life. God's showing his incredible patience, his mercy, and his grace towards his troubled servant. So the story challenges us to think about being in Jonah's place, to be a person who is unwilling to listen to God, and yet hear again and see again our God of grace, who draws us close and find our hope and comfort there. God's love is poured out here upon Jonah, who was undeserving of it. And we recognize that story all throughout Scripture. That's an expression of God's grace. But Jonah is not the final character who expresses, on whom God's love is poured out and who expresses God's love most clearly. He only points us forward to a one who shows God's love more clearly, and that would be our Lord Jesus Christ. So we keep Jesus in view as we study the life of Jonah. For this man in his rebellion was brought back to God. Jesus, who was not a rebel, went to die for us so that we might be brought into God's presence. So we'll keep that in perspective as we go through these few verses together. I want to begin with just a few thoughts about the man Jonah, a little bit of his background. So I'll begin by reading this verse out of 2 Kings. 2 Kings 14, verse 25. And it reads this way. He refers to the king at the time, Jeroboam II. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, to us, that won't probably make a whole lot of difference in our lives. We're not probably most of us familiar with the geography of Israel, ancient Israel, and those landmarks won't mean much. But it's the rest of the sentence that will help us to think about Jonah, and here it is. The God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath Hepher. Now, servant would be a key word there. A servant of the Lord, a prophet, was a man who stood in God's presence, if you will, closely, hearing from God, God speaking to him, that then he would speak God's word to the people. So here is a servant of God who had the great privilege and responsibility of entering into God's presence in a special way and then going forth to proclaim the message of God's word to his people. So he was no slouch, if you will. Let me put it this way. Maybe we're not told this now. This is a little bit of a reading between the lines, at least my reading between the lines. Maybe Jonah was a member of his local Orthodox Presbyterian church. He loved the word of God. He loved God. He loved serving God until God called him to do something that he didn't want to do. That's the man before us here. A servant of God who stood in the presence of God. And then it also says in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. He was no stranger to God. He was not on, say, the fringe of the church, if you will. He was right in the midst of the ministry of the church of his day. And yet, he wasn't willing to listen to God's word. That should catch our attention. That will challenge us, because we'll see ourselves in Jonah's place from time to time, on the run, away from God. Maybe not literally going down to the coast and getting on a ship. And by the way, if you find yourself unwilling to listen to God, to go where you know that he wants you to go, to speak to someone you know that he wants you to speak to, I'd give you a little bit of friendly advice. Don't go out on a boat ride. Keep your feet on solid ground. But here we are with Jonah. Jonah is an example for us, not in the positive, but from the negative point of view. Here's what we should not do. And so he makes it clear to us in that way. Because God is at work. He is working for good. Jonah can't see it. Even when you get to the end of the book, he still has trouble with it. But we know God is always working for good because we have further revelation for God, his word. And we're reminded in the book of Revelation that for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So when God calls us to do something hard, to step into somebody's life, to speak the word of God to them when it's hard, and when you know they probably don't want to hear it, God is still working for good. For your good, to show you that it's best always to be willing to obey the Lord, and for the good of the other person who may not appreciate it at the time, but we hope will appreciate it somewhere down the road. I remember one experience I had. It was not long after I was we were here and I was pastoring, and I had the privilege of serving on the board of the Bridgeton Christian School. And somebody came to join the association, and it was required that they give a testimony of their faith. And this person gave their testimony, and I spoke with the other board member. The two of us were interviewing this person, and so we excused this person from the room. And we said, you know, there's just not a clear testimony of resting in Jesus Christ for saving grace. So we called this person back into the room and said, we're sorry. We don't hear your testimony. I don't remember exactly what we said. This person left the room not happy with us, to say the least. A couple years later, at one of the gatherings of the school, one of the public gatherings, I think it was the picnic in May, the fundraising picnic they had every year, this lady came up to me, and I recognized her, and I was saying, oh, no. And she said, Pastor Evans, you were right. I was shocked. You don't often get that from people. When you tell them that their answer isn't quite adequate, speak the truth into people's lives. This is what God calls us to do. Jonah didn't want to do it. And as we read the story, we see how God was at work in him. But God is at work. Notice what Jonah did not do. This is a help for us to take into account what he did not do. He didn't respond to God. He didn't go to God's word that he might have had on scrolls. He didn't wrestle with God in prayer. He didn't spend time, as we might say, in his prayer closet in a private way. He didn't go to a mature spiritual friend, maybe another prophet, and talk about what God had called him to do. His immediate thought was no. And we know that from chapter 4, verse 2. O Lord, is this not why I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. So instead of going in the direction God called him to go, he went in the opposite direction. He went down to Joppa. Now, we don't know literally if he was heading south or figuratively speaking, which I would think would be the way to interpret this. Going away from God is always on what we might call a downward path. But he headed down to Joppa to try to get away. But think about when Jonah had said there in chapter 4, I knew God, you're merciful and gracious and abounding in love. He was glad to have that for himself, but didn't want to share it with some people. There's a challenge for us. When God calls you to speak to somebody who maybe is not your favorite person in the world, or maybe somebody from a different ethnic group, or maybe somebody from a different lifestyle, and you're thinking, no, I don't want to talk to that person. We need to be faithful to God and follow God's leading to speak to anyone and anyone who will listen about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so we rightly ask, not of Jonah, but of ourselves. How could he not go knowing God as well as he did? Well, of course, something else was more important to him. That's what sin is. Something else becomes more important, and we turn away from God and go from him. So he turned from God. He turned from God's word. Hearing from God was not a new experience. He had heard many times. So his problem was not intellectual. His problem was moral. Refusing to obey God is always a moral decision. So we have God's word. Hopefully we're reading God's word. We're taking God's word in. And then we are following God's word. And he speaks to us through his word just as clearly as he spoke to Jonah. So what may be behind a refusal to do God's will? Well, we see what Jonah said. How about ourselves, just briefly, to think about how we may be challenged at times. We make up our minds about people, and so we're not going to share with them. We're not going to serve them. Maybe I don't want to change. I don't want to be that servant that God calls me to be. Or maybe I'm holding something against another person. The anger rises up, or bitterness. I'm holding on to something against that person. Those are not excuses to avoid God's call. Those are not reasons to reject God's word, that we are to speak out the gospel to all. That's change I need to make in preparation for being a willing, obedient servant of God. What are we as God's people to learn? Well, the most immediate and shocking truth is that you could be that you have pledged your life to God. In other words, you've acknowledged your sin, that I deserve God's judgment and wrath. And yet, when I turn to Jesus Christ in faith, that judgment is averted and turned on him, and I receive God's blessing. That's grace. The most shocking reality is I have that, the wonder of God's love, and then I refuse to love him in return. And we see that clearly here, but we see it in our own lives, unfortunately. You love Christ, but you turn away from him in sin. You trust Christ, but you battle anxiety and fear. And we all have that to some degree, but what we're called is to learn to trust him in the midst of these things. Because of providential changes in your life, things you can't control, all of a sudden disappointment comes. And now you struggle to trust God. And what we're being reminded of here is we need to walk through what we might call dark providences, a call of God that is distasteful to us, a willingness to serve someone who surely doesn't appear to be deserving of our service, and to give ourselves up to that calling. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He didn't have to go to his study with commentaries. I'm sure you can be invited into Pastor Taylor's study anytime. There's plenty of books there for you. You can spend all your time reading books if you want. But we need to get away from the reading to the doing of God's word and the following of God's will. But that's always going to bring about a conflict in our lives, because we're reminded in the book of Galatians, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. So the most important thing is bringing God's word close. Jonah would hold God's word at arm's length. No, we need to bring God's word close. And then the second thing he did, he turned from God's word and he tried to run from God's presence. Now, if you would have asked him theological questions, I'm sure he could have passed the ordination exam in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I'm sure he had his orthodoxy down. Where is God? God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. What can God do? God can do whatever he wants. He's omnipotent. But he wasn't living it out. See, it's one thing to know that you can answer the questions. It's another thing to live in response to those questions. And that's the challenge when we're called to serve, to give up ourselves and sacrifice in some way to serve others. Jonah was trying to get away from the presence of the Lord, the privilege of serving. So when you're called upon to serve and you say, I don't have time, but you really do, are you being like a Jonah there? No, I'm unwilling to serve. When you're called upon to serve and you say, I don't have the gift, but I'm not willing to try either, sounds like you're turning away from the opportunity to try something new. When you hear the opportunity to serve, do you walk in the direction of that service, or do you go on the run away from that? Those are the kind of things that come to my mind as I read this challenge to Jonah, and then to myself and to us as we think about the Word of God. So Jonah is on the run away from the Lord. I want to go to the second point, the idea of being aware. What happens to Jonah? Well, we know there's no escape from God. If we have our theology, if we understand it, you can't get away from God. Read through the scriptures. God shows us that he is everywhere. He's not in the Old Testament, you know, the peoples would have their God of the hills or the God of the valleys. And in different battles, God would say, show them I'm not just the God of the hills, or show them I'm not just the God of the valley. Go over here and fight them. And God would win the victory for his people. And he would use them in the process. But God will take our disobedience and turn it into a lesson to make us to be aware of his greatness and of his glory and of his love. That's what he's doing here for Jonah. So as I said, going down to Joppa, and he gets to the coast, and there's a ship ready to sail to Tarshish. Now we understand that would be, if there's some disagreement about where exactly that city is, and it's not that significant that we know, but he was trying to head away from Israel, or the land where God, where you would think of God, to try to get away as far as he can. Some people say that would have been all the way in what we now call Spain. So all the way across the Mediterranean Sea. That would be quite a trip. But notice, he gets down to the shore. He's probably thinking on the way, I hope there's going to be a ship there. I hope I can find something that is going to get me on my journey. And there it is. Wow. I think, I didn't write down where I got this quote from. I think it was from Sinclair Ferguson. Wow, what a good providence. If God did not want me to go, he wouldn't have provided this ship. We always have to be careful about trying to interpret the circumstances of our life without the Word of God. Did you ever think to yourself, oh, that's a sign? That was a sign from God. We probably all have from time to time. Just be careful. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. Jonah was interpreting circumstances. There's a little bit of a guess on this, you know, that he might have thought that way, of course. But interpreting circumstances without the word of God. So he paid the fare. And he gets on the boat. He never got to his destination. He never got a refund on his fare either. I did write this one down. This one comes from James Boyce. When you run away from the Lord, you never get to where you're going, and you always pay your fare, your own fare. On the other hand, when you go the Lord's way, you always get where you are going, and he pays the fare. You might argue with a few of the words in there. That's fine, but I think the intent is helpful for us to understand. He pays the fare for us in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we go his way with joy and thanksgiving to serve and honor him. The storm hits. Jonah is asleep in the boat. Everyone else is frantic, working hard to try to save themselves, but they're not able to at all. Awakened by the captain, brought up to the deck, and with a barrage of questions, God uses lost people to show Jonah that he's on a lost journey, a lost cause. God uses those who would be Jonah would consider pagans to bring him back to be aware of who God is. Because what does he do? He immediately testifies to God of God's greatness. He's created the heavens and the sea. He immediately turns attention to God. Here is the one that is in control. So Jonah didn't want to go and preach to the pagans in Nineveh, but God used him to preach to the pagans on that ship, and they heard the message. Now, the ultimate a spiritual reality in the lives of these men on the boat, we don't know any more than what we're given here. But they turned to God. They were humbled by God's greatness, by his power, by his mercy. Whether they would have put it in those words or not, that is what we see. And they sacrificed to the Lord. That's a good start. Like I said, we're not sure where they ended up in terms of their relationship with God. Jonah is what we call an anti-hero, not the one that we should be taking our cues from, but learning from his negative example. He's an example of what we're not to do. As I said to begin with, he's not the hero of the story. God is. But he's also not the only one who was called to go to pagans to preach the gospel of grace. There were others throughout the scriptures, but ultimately Jesus Christ is the one who demonstrates to us what it is to serve God, to do God's will, to go to people that don't love you, to go to people that don't want to listen to you, to go to people that are worshiping anything and everything but the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, to go to the Nineveh of his day and to bring the message of God's grace. He would go to those who objected to his rule. He would go to those who rebelled against his authority. And he would call out against it. And it's by his grace that those of us who were rejecting his authority and those of us who objected to his lordship were brought to faith by his grace and mercy and confessed Jesus Christ. So Jonah just reminds us we're looking forward to one who is the hero, who will indeed do the will of God, even though it cost him his life. But thankfully, he was resurrected from the dead, of course, and gives us new life in him. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. What a wonderful truth. I hope you know that truth. When you become aware of that truth, you begin to see all of life in a new way. You begin to see the God who created the heavens and the earth as a God who is merciful and gracious. You begin to see the God to whom Jonah testifies here in this chapter, with whom Jonah had at once been very close and is going to be brought back to that to some degree as you read on through the book. But we see God is at work. As I said earlier, he's always working for good to accomplish his will. There can be nothing better than that, than God accomplishing his will in our lives and in this world. And so one of our prayers should be, God, bring me to a fresh awareness of your grace, of your mercy, of your greatness. And if you have to use other people who don't know and love you, use them. But help me to turn back. If I'm on the run away from God, I need God to make me aware of that. And he will do that through his Spirit. He will answer that prayer. He will love to answer that prayer if you will pray that prayer to him, that you might be aware of his goodness and mercy. So the choice is before us, running away from God in rebellion, running away from God, ignoring his grace and mercy, refusing to accept his sovereign, providential control over our lives, or running to him and bowing down in thankfulness, thanking him that he's a God of love and mercy and grace, and knowing that he will accomplish his will in your life. Philippians 1, verse 6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That's a great verse for assurance and encouragement to us. But it also reminds us, God will do what it takes, a fierce storm. And even, as you read on, having to be thrown into the turmoil in order to make us to be aware again of his grace and mercy and draw us back. So I want to close by asking a couple of questions that for us to be thinking about. Am I like Jonah today? Seriously, that's a question we need to ask and answer ourselves. Maybe someone close to you can help you with that. But it's a personal issue that we need to deal with. Am I like Jonah today, running from God or running to him? Have I turned from God's word? If I forget to read one day, it's easy to forget the next day. If I don't read that day, it's easy to go on. No, I need to be focused and disciplined on being in the word of God on a regular basis. That's how God speaks to me most clearly through his word. Am I refusing to submit to his authority? Now, often that is expressed in a way of refusing the authority that is over us. We all have authority over us in our lives. If we rebel against that authority, we're rebelling against God who put that authority there. So there's a question for us. Am I rebelling against authority? The parents, elders, bosses, teachers, government officials, like them or not, God puts them there. And so we need to be careful with that. Am I experiencing a storm now? Something going on in my life that's completely out of my control. We control very little in this life, of course. But is something going on that's very difficult these days? I used the words before. I'll say them again. Going through what we would call a dark providence. Wondering where God is. Well, God hasn't moved, as the quip would go. When God seems far away, he hasn't moved. We have. And so turning back to him in prayer and faith. Calling out to him. Getting with other people who know and love the Lord, who will help you redirect your attention, help you evaluate where you maybe should be giving yourself in sacrificial service to the Lord, helping you think about what God's word means as you're trying to apply it to your life. Take advantage of those opportunities, the groups that meet. I know you have fellowship groups this afternoon, or in smaller groups, one-on-one with others, where you can get that help you need. Jonah ignored it all, and we see what happened to him. Now we're saying, don't go in that direction. Don't go down away from the Lord. Draw close to him. Draw near to him and trust his saving grace. Don't wait till you see the teeth of a big fish. Turn to him now in repentance and faith. Let's pray. Oh, Lord in heaven, we look to you. We do not like to admit how much we're like Jonah. But we pray, Father, that we would be drawn back to you quickly when we begin to turn away. And that we would once again testify to your greatness and your glory and your grace. So that you would receive the honor, for you alone are deserving. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.